Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is so funny. My friend's a wedding planner, and, you know, she deals with bridezillas and all of that shit all the time. Crazy. Think about how stressful, right, you are if you're having a big wedding.
Yes.
And she's a wedding planner, and I got her this. I may have gotten you the same candle. I don't know. I got her this candle, and she said she has a new client consultation today, and she's setting the tone. Look at the candle.
It says, live, laugh, love. Is that what it says at the top? And then it crossed out, and then underneath it says, don't be a cunt.
Isn't that hilarious?
Your wedding was pretty low key. And I'm not just bringing this up to, you know, throw shade, because I like to throw shade when I can. I get a lot of heat for that sometimes.
That's,
that's the brand.
That's, you know, that's one of the biggest pain points in our relationship, my brother and I.
Still, you think?
I mean, I know not to like constantly rehash it, but it does hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It was hard. It was very, very hard because I feel, watch, you know, I'll get divorced next week after I say this. I mean, Tarek and I have been together for 15 years. We've been married 13. I really feel like our marriage gets better. Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, it's rare you hear that.
I know, because the first couple years for me were I didn't know if we were going to make it. It was hard.
Is it because, do you think because of the age gap, or not necessarily the gap in age, but you were at different points in your life, different pages in the
book? Yes, and he was very jealous and insecure, and I was on the air. And I think that would be hard for any relationship,
yeah.
Especially, you know, especially a new marriage. So that was very difficult, but I really, you know, we're best friends. And everyone has issues. Everyone has miscommunication,
insecurities.
You know, it's not like rainbows and, you know, roses every day, but I think we really have a good baseline on how to effectively communicate with mm-hmm. each other. And hey, that made me feel like this. Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel like that. Like, we address everything instantly.
Yeah.
Like, if I come home with an attitude because I had a stressful day, and I'm short with him.
Kind of disclose that.
Yes,
being like,
immediately.
Hey.
Yeah, or he'll say, and he's always so kind. Or if he comes home and he's had a stressful interview or he does project work, and we'll be short with, like, sometimes I'll never, ever, we never raise our voices. Never.
Really?
No.
Oh, I wish I had that much emotional control. Okay.
We did in the beginning.
Maybe there's hope for me.
Right? But now we're like, wait a minute. This is stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, why? We're on the same team. Mm-hmm. Why are we? This is a miscommunication. So I'll say, hey, that came across wrong. I didn't mean to be short with you. I know that that was not cool. My tone, I didn't mean that. I just need like an hour to kind of decompress.
Yeah.
And he's like, thanks for, yeah, I appreciate that. Or he'll say something. He'll go, man, I'm sorry. That came across wrong. I didn't mean it like that. Mm. So instantly. And it's been kind of a game changer for us.
Absolutely.
But it kind of hurts, like, you know, because Bubba and I are so close. And
this is flapping gaffs, by the way. I don't even think we intro the show, but we're back for more. So
yes.
You're welcome.
And thank you to anybody who listens to this.
People love this shit, dude.
How grateful I am for these amazing people, because I love you, Anna, but I don't think we're very compelling. I don't think this is really great. I
100% agree.
Emmy,
but
know,
the people
right?
love it. They love you. And I think they love, well, they hear enough of me. They hear enough of the other people on the show.
Yeah, but you kind of have, you know, this is a different dynamic.
It
so
sure
they,
is.
They kind of see probably a different
side
of
you. Don't
of
tell
you.
Me to shut the fuck up every time.
No, I haven't. Or tell you you're dumb or you're stupid.
Yeah.
No, of course not. But to answer... I feel like it's very long-winded. I wonder where I get that from. But yeah, it sucks that he didn't come to my wedding. And I look at the pictures and it sucks. And it was really hard for my mom, I think. But
not being there.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, he's the one that missed out, you know?
Yeah.
But our wedding was, we did.
Yeah, on a lighter note, how
yes.
was the,
yes.
was it stress-free? I know a lot of people can become, like you said, the bridezilla.
So my friend, we started this podcast with that, before we even introduced the podcast and said, hey, we're back.
Yeah.
I was telling you a story. I have a friend, Gloria, she's a big Bubba Army fan, and her mom is my mom's best friend and neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Gloria is super cool. Awesome. We become really good friends. And she has a wedding planning business. Very successful. And she tells me stories. And I'm in awe of somebody that would choose that as a profession, dealing with these bridezillas. Because they can be nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But our wedding was different. One, I don't sweat the small shit. Like, I would never be a bridezilla.
That's just your personality type.
And we were planning on when Bubba was going to be in it. And when we, you know, everything was good. Initially, I always wanted a beach wedding. And I wanted it in February when it would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be great. So we initially started planning a beach wedding. Well, right around the time after we got engaged and when we started looking at venues and looking at whatever, Sand Key, we were going to get married on Sand Key, have a big bash. And then that's when the BP oil spill happened, like right around
this
when we got engaged.
11?
Yeah. So right around that. And we're like, wait a minute. We can't. It happened before. Mm-hmm. And so some of these venues, remember they were predicting all of the beaches here. Well, you didn't live here then.
I was like in Australia, but I'm sure I
heard it.
All of
the beaches would be ruined. And
you're fine. It was a box behind you. Don't worry about it.
All the beaches would be ruined. There would be oil balls. And, you know, we can't guarantee if you put this deposit down and the beaches are flooded with oil, you know, we can't give you your deposit.
But it was for the nuptials.
It was very uncertain.
Yeah.
And so as time, you know, then it looked like, well, maybe it won't. It was just a really uncertain time. And so I just said to him, let's just do Vegas. Like, this is becoming about everyone else. Let's just go somewhere. We were going to like maybe go to an island, a destination like Jamaica. And then we're like, let's just go to Vegas. In and out. You know, it was, I think we flew out on a Thursday and came back Sunday. We ended up having like 15 people fly.
Oh, small wedding.
Yeah, small wedding. I had, you know, a ceremony, then, you know, open bar and dinner. And then I saw Mike Tyson. I mean, Mike Tyson was in my wedding picture. So
I did see that.
It was pretty damn cool.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
It was just like surreal.
He just happened to be there, right?
Happened to be at Planet Hollywood, which is where we were staying.
Mm-hmm.
So we got married at like this chapel that a lot of the chapels don't have liquor license because they're just, it's like an assembly line.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them actually have a little venue with a liquor license. And I wanted to get married in a place where we could eat and drink and then go do, everyone could then go do what they wanted in mm-hmm. Vegas. And so after this, we got married at noon because I wanted everyone to be able to enjoy Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going back to the hotel and we, you know, if have you ever been to Vegas? All
yes.
the hotels are like there's malls in uh-huh. the, you know, so we're walking through Planet Hollywood and I'm in my dress and Tariq's there and my parents and a couple other people, Tariq's aunt, and we're walking through because we're all staying at the hotel and everyone's like cheering and, you know, because we just got married. I mean, I had my veil, I had everything, and because the limo just dropped us off at the hotel. We're walking and we see this sports memorabilia store and there's a sign that says Mike Tyson signings, but they're getting ready to close. Like they have, you know, in a mall, mm-hmm.
Not the chain, but
yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
It goes, you know, the door goes down like a garage door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like halfway down and half of the lights were out. We're like, oh man, what's... So my dad goes in to see and basically said, hey, my daughter just got married and, you know, is Mike still here? We'd like to see him. And they, you know, he was leaving, and they went back and they said, hey, there's a bride and groom here. And we could hear him laugh because we're kind of like standing in the entrance. Yeah. And there's like a big screen, like he's standing behind, like, you know, a screen fabric divider or whatever. And we hear him laugh and he's like, no way. And they said, no, she's has her veil full on, you know, will you meet with them? He's like, hell yeah. So we go back and I turn around the corner and he just starts dying laughing.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, they weren't shitting me. I mean, he had some very interesting stories. He was hilarious.
He talked to you for a minute?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't just like take a picture?
He just got back from Thailand from filming The Hangover 2.
Okay.
So he was kind of telling us about it.
And he had the face tattoo
at
this point.
He had the face tattoo. Then he like literally felt, he asked me if my boobs were real because they were kind of coming out of the dress. Mm-hmm. And he was like playing like bongos with my boobs. And then he was giving Tariq some very inappropriate wedding advice about my nether regions. And my dad's just sitting there like, okay. I mean, so I turn around, I go, I just got felt up by Mike Tyson on my wedding day. And Mike's just laughing.
Yeah.
And then they had like, they had food there for him.
Uh-huh.
Like a little spread catering. And he's like trying to give me strawberries. He's like, here.
Heath.
Yeah. He's like, Tariq can do it perfect. And Tariq
you
can
know,
tell
actually,
you what
Bubba
he
can
said.
Do a pretty good impression
yes,
of Mike Tyson.
Does.
Yeah.
He does. But he was the sweetest guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's like telling Tariq, don't mess this up. I've messed up so many, man. Don't do it. It was just a really cool experience. So, you know,
it sounds like it was a pretty stress-free event.
Very, very.
Yeah. I would only do low-key stuff. I don't even think I would do, if I ever were to get married, which I don't think I will, just because, you know, me and the government
like,
and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like people that always say that they will never, well, you didn't say that, but I feel like people that make a stance or a statement on it always end up getting married.
Could be. I'm not 100% against it. You know, if someone really wanted to do it,
what
I wouldn't be
kids?
Against it.
What about kids?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Not pregnant, by
okay.
the way.
Good.
Not
I'm
pregnant.
Not either, thank God.
But
that was a joke.
I am worried that I will look back when I'm older and regret not doing it. But, and it's funny you mentioned that because where did I see this? I saw, I was watching some fucking podcast on like the Dave Ramsey channel, not
oh,
his,
God,
but he's obnoxious,
yes.
But there's someone else who's like a psychologist. I looked up his credentials. I'm not quite sure he's a doctor, even though he claims to be, but he took a call where a woman called in and she was like, I regret being a mom, which is
wow.
something you don't really hear often.
You don't.
And it was clickbaity and I fucking fell for it. So I clicked on it and I started listening and this woman is like, walking us through her day of being a mom, which many mothers listening are
it's
like,
the hardest
yeah,
job
yeah.
in the world, man. I have so much respect for now that I'm in business, looking back and thinking, because my mom, you know, was always in business. How in the hell did she do
Could
that?
You juggle both?
So I have so much respect for women who work, who don't even work outside of the home, just being a mom.
Keeping it together, raising children.
Did she really meet, like when she broke down her regret, was it clickbait?
She was like, I'm not happy.
Really?
She's like, I'm not happy. I feel like it's affecting my marriage. Because she was like,
heard
she thought she wanted it. She gets what she wanted, you know, or what she supposedly wanted. Now she's with this kid and she's afraid it's going to fuck up the relationship she has with her daughter, obviously. But she's like, I regret it. I don't like my life. I don't find it fulfilling. I don't
wow.
like love my kid and my life as much as I thought I would. Like, what do I do?
I've never heard somebody like really come out and say
so
that.
So I then am like, fuck. I've heard from very close friends that speak to me in confidence about some stuff. When I talk about, you know, should I, shouldn't I, not that I can really afford it, I'm in a good place or whatever
right.
the case may be, but sometimes you just have to do it and then just figure it out along the way if it's something you really want. So I'm more of the, I don't want it, but I want to want it. And what if I want it when it's too late sort of a thing? That's where like I'm at. And I'm about to be 37. So there's not a lot of time to kind of figure things out?
I would say, so my college roommate, one of my very best friends, she's a physical therapist and lives in DC. She had her first baby at 40 and she had her second at 42, zero complications. Now I know that's rare. But I think
not
you can't
impossible,
look at,
but it is, it is
impossible.
Rare.
I think you're healthy. And I think if anything, you know, you can't look at it. This has to be something that, that you want, that you absolutely,
and I
you're
don't
not
think
on the
I
fence.
Do.
If you're on the fence,
don't do it. That's what I heard from a friend.
I can't tell you one way or another because I never had children. We wanted them.
Yeah.
And I people ask me all the time, and it's weird. I think I've talked about this before where, you know, women are not shaming you, but the minute, of course, when you're going out in a social scene, right, usually you're with your spouse or even if it's just all women, you know, hey, how, what do you do? What, you know, where are you from? You know, do you have kids? It's always a top three question.
Sure.
And then the minute you say no, you can't. Now things have changed, but I would say I still get kind of the, oh, well, which I love this. Or are you guys trying? Because, you know, they think that I'm Tariq's age, which I am. But I'm like, no, it just, you know, it didn't work out for us. We weren't able to.
Yeah.
And then you
it's
get
a rude question to
you
ask
get
to
the
someone.
Weird, well,
met.
Why don't you adopt? Well, did you, they, then they start like laying out the options.
Yeah. You're
and,
like,
and wanting
you
to
think
know.
We didn't think about this?
And,
bitch.
Yeah. And I said, well, we, it became a science experiment. And then we decided not to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had to accept that. I wouldn't use the word regret. I still would love to have been able to have children. I still, especially with Tariq. I mean, because I think I found my person. But by the same token, I'm not going to live my life in regret.
Yeah.
I've accepted it.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And understand that I have a different purpose.
And that's fine.
And I've, you
and
know,
you have
I,
a fulfilling, joyous
I mean, I have no choice other
life.
Than to accept
of
it.
Because
I'm not going to live in regret.
Sure.
So, you know, I think you have to be open-minded.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you are.
I am.
You're not drawing a line in the
no,
sand.
No, I'm
but
investigating.
I think,
but I want to hear the truth from people. And maybe the truth isn't something that
but
is
I think everybody
politically
has,
correct.
Right. But I also think that you can't compare yourself or your thoughts on anything, especially parenting. Like, this has to be something you feel within. You can ask everybody their opinion. Don't compare like what your thoughts are. You've got to create your own find what feels good.
Yeah.
And not apologize, not make excuses. And just that's what it is.
Yeah. Parenting is one of those things, though, where it's, you know, you can try out a new profession, a job, an outfit. And if you don't like it, you can take it off or quit or whatever, resign, whatever the case may be. But with this, it's kind of like you can't really get a feel for it. I mean, maybe unless you work with kids and stuff, unless you but then people always go, it's different. And when they're yours, and that makes sense, obviously, especially if you're the one carrying the child.
But you know what's scary to me more than that? 100% spot on with everything you said, but raising, and I'm not trying to sound like an old timer, but there are so many different concerns that you don't have control over as a parent that are real life in the world we live in. Technology. Think of social media. Would you want to be raising a kid and now my friends who have younger children, you know, they get judged on if they don't, you're 8 and you don't have a cell phone. Like, imagine having to deal with all of that. And then what these kids, like the people that can hurt them and how easy it is
to access them.
And then school shootings and think about.
And bullying is never really fully turned off. Because, I mean, I wasn't bullied at school, but you get a little harassed or teased at school.
Yes.
Everyone does. But when you go home, it's refuge. You don't have to think about it.
Right.
There was no Facebook, at least for me. There was no MySpace really when I was in middle school, which was probably the worst time, at least for me, 7th, 8th grade. But now it's just like that shit follows you home.
So imagine you're a parent, right?
And having to navigate that when they didn't navigate that. So they're like, what's this new fucking technology? So I'm really, really glad I'm like a geriatric millennial.
Right.
Where I was on the tail end. I remember what it was like to grow up without a cell
phone. Without Google.
Without a smartphone.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm really lucky.
But think, not just the technology portion, which in and of itself could be a 5-hour podcast of all of the crazy, scary things. But how about school shootings? I mean, I'm not saying that's like every day, but how about you can't even, you know, or kids at school
comfortably
that bring
leave your
guns
kid. Yeah.
Or like that's a thing now.
Yeah.
And that you know, we used to have drills on tornadoes and we get under
or
the
fires
desk
or whatever,
fires.
Yeah.
And now it's like you got to have a shooting
live
drill.
Intruder drill. Yeah, I know.
I mean, so
yeah, it is frightening.
You could obviously peel this banana, you know, you could peel
the onion, maybe
the onion, not the banana, all the layers, unpack, whatever, peel the onion. But I mean, you got to just think of the global picture and you can't compare if you're going to regret something or not.
Right.
You just have to lean
but
in.
I can listen to testimonials. So what I was going to tell you is that when I listened to that, it was maybe like a 20-minute video of this woman talking about how miserable she was being a mother and having a child and how she felt horrible for it, right?
Wow.
So then you have this like double layer of I don't like it and now I feel guilty for not liking it or loving it, whatever. So I decide to go onto the Googles and I was like, regretful parents, just to see what the fuck pops up. Reddit, there's a subreddit. You're familiar with Reddit, right?
Of course.
Right? There's a subreddit that is regretful parents.
Really?
Holy
people
shit.
Just
this
open
wasn't
up.
For me. I hate my life. I think about ending it every day.
Wow.
I can't talk about this with anybody because God, I can't say I regret having
you
my
would be
child.
Ostracized.
Absolutely. So I just go all in and not that it validated what I already felt, but I was at least I felt, and again, this could all be made up. I know it's the internet. You never know what's real. Fine. But if it is true, and I have talked to people who go, Anna, I love my kids. I would have been just as happy without
Same
them.
Here.
I've
I
heard
get that
people
a lot.
Say that.
No, I get that a lot.
Where they
Tara,
go, I love my children. I'm glad they're here. I can't imagine life without them. But Anna, I would have been fine without them.
Right.
I just want to let you know that. So that you're not crazy and not everybody has this, you know, burning desire to be a parent, which I don't have. And for a while, I always thought something was wrong with me, or what I was told was, when I would hit a certain age, it would kick in. So I'm like waiting for it. Dude, I want him less than I did when I was 25.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm like, what's going on?
And
what's wrong with my brain?
Everyone gives you their opinion.
Yeah.
And everyone's an expert. And everyone thinks that they know what you should do.
Yeah.
It's just not true.
And here's the thing about, I can't say, especially on the show, I get a lot of heat from people if I make any sort of comment about like raising a child or what children need. And what I find to be so odd is like, you're completely unqualified to have a child until you have one, and then you're the resident expert.
And then you're expert. The expert. You know everything.
I'm just like, how does that work? They're like, you can't talk. You don't have a child. I'm like, so you can just have one, and then as soon as it pops out, now you're the expert.
You're the expert.
I'm like, okay, but I understand, like, human motivation and human thriving and human suffering and things that can build someone up and break someone down. Mm-hmm. Like, those are pretty, I don't know, like, intuitive, common sense things to understand. So I always get, like, mad about that. I'm like, you can't just be qualified just because you have one. No one really goes through parenting training. It's just like you get thrown into this role and then you just do it.
I mean, yeah. There should be either some sort of IQ, emotional intelligence. There should be some sort of qualification. Sadly, there isn't. But mm-hmm. I read a statistic the other day where the generation behind you, they don't really have a desire to have children. People are having children less and less. Like, people in their 20s don't want to be parents. They have no desire.
Even my generation, the millennials, like Gen X had kids. Obviously the boomers had kids because they had that was a giant generation, right. And they had the millennials, which are my people, right. The millennials are not really having kids.
Not a lot.
Because my mom, like, when she would talk to her friends when she was young, everyone had kids. You know, with you, with the Gen mm-hmm. Xers, maybe a little less, but with the millennials, I'm not kidding, it's I don't want to say less than 50%.
Yes.
Most of my girlfriends who I'm close with that,
same
you know,
here. I
grew
have
up
a lot.
With, went to high school with, went to college with, I would say 65, 70% did not have children. Yes. And we're all about in our mid to late 30s. So it's, and a lot of them weren't really planning on not having children. Like, right. I remember talking to them when we were in our early 20s. They wanted a family. But what happened was, is like, career gets in the
life
way.
Life happens.
Yeah. They put career on the forefront. They're, you know, trying to make partner, whatever the case may be. And then all of a sudden, my one friend who's going to come visit me this weekend actually comes to mind, where she wanted to have a family. She's like this Armenian girl. She wanted to have a nice Christian family, all the sort of stuff. She put career ahead of everything, and now she's like almost 37 and having an absolute freak out. Like,
I hate that.
Now
I hate
she's
that
like,
people do
fuck.
That to themselves.
Well, yeah, because now she's like, fuck, I did want a family. I did want all these things. I'm, you know, trying to feverishly date. So that I feel for a lot of women, especially when they want children, because you kind of have to, that has to be on the timeline because you're not going to be fertile forever. Or maybe you don't want to be like an older mom. And I get that too.
But speaking of older women, did you just see that Cameron Diaz is 51 and had a
second child?
Second? I mean, I don't know if it was surrogate.
What do you think
whatever.
About that?
I don't know.
There's a, I saw it was hotly debated about whether it was ethical or not.
I mean,
to take the chances.
I think that's bullshit to say if it's ethical. I think that that's,
or let's just say a good idea or not.
Right. I mean, do you remember that crazy bitch who was married to? She was married to Sylvester Stallone years ago.
Oh,
Brigitte Nielsen. That she was
the one that did
Flava Flav. Oh God, Foofy. You remember that? Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. She had
Flavor of Love.
Yeah, Flavor of Love.
Yeah,
boy. She had a baby recently, like in the last couple of years.
She's like
70? 54. I think.
Oh, she, okay.
I think she's in her late 50s now.
I think her and Sharon Stone confused. Okay.
She's at like 4 or 5 years ago at 53. She had a baby. I mean, as far as, I don't know, the ethical part of it, I would think that's a person's choice. I think people are having babies later in life.
Most certainly.
But I think it would be hard to be a mom at 50 and have a newborn and juggle your life, whether you're a career person or not. I think that would be very hard. I mean, what's the number one thing that they talk about? Sleep deprivation, right? I mean, I have insomnia now.
When I don't sleep well.
I have insomnia so bad. Yeah. So I can't imagine. But I don't know. As far as the, you know, the ethical portion, I think that to each his own. I think people
But you
need
can make
to,
a comment on if you think it's a good idea or not. And
I
think most people
case
are,
by case.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have an issue with two things. Number one, you're putting the baby at risk because you have a higher risk of pretty much everything the older you get as a woman.
I mean,
and you can have problems as a young mom, obviously, but the chances go up, the probability goes up. But I think what more people are concerned with is the timeline of, like, you're going to be in their
you're going to be 70 when they're graduating high school.
And it's like, all right, are you going to see them into deep adulthood or just adolescence? Can you really be that
crazy because
present
I remember
for them?
When I was young and I was in elementary school, you know, people, I think back then, most of the moms had their kids like in their late 20s or early 30s. And there was this girl, I'm not going to say her name, who I went to elementary school with, and her parents literally in elementary school had gray hair. Like her mom looked like the cover, you know, Grandma Cookie, that lady on the cookie. Like she had the, so they, I think, were in their 40s when they had her, or old, I mean, late 40s. I don't know what. And she was an oops because her siblings were like 20 years older than her. And I just remember everyone, and I felt sorry for her. But
is
I mean,
that
her
your
parents,
grandma? Yeah, that question.
Her parents, yes. Uh-huh. Her parents had, I mean, her mom had silver hair when like we were in second or third grade.
Yeah.
And everyone would say, oh, your grandparents, you live with your grandparents. And she would cry. And I'm like thinking, oh my God, like they probably weren't that old. They just looked old.
Yeah. And you got to think like 40 back then is not 40 now.
Right. It's so
crazy. It is
wild.
It is wild to see how much better people are aging these days. I mean, we have help, but we also have more information. We know how to take care of ourselves, wear sunscreen, do all the things.
Instead of baby oil like we used to.
I never did that shit.
Oh,
but I had
God,
a lot of friends that would.
I did.
You did? Okay. Oh, did you do the tanning beds?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm embarrassed, but yes, I did.
I think I don't want to say I remember, but you did look very tan, I think, in your wedding photos.
Are you kidding me? I look like Hulk Hogan.
But
I
did make your eyes look even more crystal blue than they are.
Man. I mean,
you
I do
like
love
Hulk Hogan.
Some,
is that what you said?
I mean, yeah. It was like Hulk Hogan.
Were you just
orange.
Trying to win your brother back?
Yeah. Clearly it didn't work, brother. But shit. Yeah, moving on. I did do the tanning. Bubba used to have a tanning bed.
I believe it.
I mean, that was
probably
the thing.
Fucked in it.
Oh God, I'm gonna throw up. And when he gets like, when you guys are on the, you know, discussing like penis pumps, and I literally want to throw up. It's so disgusting.
They are obsessed with penises. Ugh. And it's so funny to me.
I did hear the other day where Seth's like, yeah, I don't know if I really think about that. Mm. I did catch a little bit of that.
Yeah, it was crazy. We did the after show on Monday, and of course, Bubba was talking about having a cock off or penis sizes and stuff like that. And I was like, guys, and maybe it's because I'm not like a raging sexual freak, but I'm like, women are not thinking about that all the time. And unless it's like ridiculous.
I mean, sometimes, like, you know,
you're
when
like,
some
you may make
show,
a comment about it, but
I'm not
for
a
the
meat
most
gazer.
Part, like, average is optimal. Like, I want to scream
more
that from the
mouth.
I'm like, average is great.
Listen.
Average is great.
The only people, the maybe Pornhub, you see that shit where they're all talking about, oh, I want a big dick. Come on. That
doesn't
not
look
what
comfortable.
Women want.
No.
Women do not want that.
No. No.
And I just, I don't know. Gross. The whole conversation when he, and obviously it's his show. I know there is
some
element
yeah.
of comedy. It is funny.
Sure.
But just listening to your brother talk about penis pumps.
Oh, especially your brother. I mean, he's has a
okay. I'm
like
literally
so wide
throw
array
up.
Of things that he likes, and he's very vocal about.
Okay, you are trying to make me sick, aren't you?
I'm sorry. We'll end this one here, and we'll do another one soon.
I mean, how pathetic are we? We talked about children and wanting to be a mom and penis pumps.
The people love it, Tara.
Listen, I love. Oh, can I just say really
quick? Yeah, please do.
I think I mentioned this to you privately, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it on the air. Because I feel like at the Bubba Army Royalty Party, BARP, there's so many people I didn't get a chance to say hi to and see. And you know who I've been dying to meet and I have like this fascination with and I just want to meet him. And I heard he was here afterwards, White Ice-T.
Yeah.
Dude,
he
I
does
did not,
not
get...
look like you would expect.
I mean, nobody does, right?
No, but this is for real.
My
like
God,
I was like, you're
I
White
meet
Ice-T.
This dude.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's super cool. I met his son too. His son was here as well.
Oh my God, how did I not meet him?
Yeah. I know.
I'm dying to meet this dude.
You have to wait for the next one. Well, you're going to be out of town. I was going to say you got to come to the Cash Cube debut.
Yeah.
At the Kenny Chesney concert.
I'll be in Nashville that weekend.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm sure I can come another time. Does White Ice Tea live around here?
Yes. He's local.
He is?
Yeah. Because I saw him at the last tailgate when Stein was here a couple years ago with the Cream Machine. And
I mean, I
that
love
sort of
all, listen, all of Bubba's listeners. Talk about amazing people. I mean, all of them.
I don't get it, and I'm grateful for it.
Too.
God bless you. But
each and every one, and I've had a couple reach out to me.
Mm-hmm. It's unreal, the support.
I'm not a big social media person, so I don't always get back to them. But man, I'm just so grateful for each and every one. What cool ass people. What a great community.
Certainly.
I'm very grateful for them. So White Ice Tea, I hope to meet you soon. And of course, all the other Bubba Army, I hope to see you at Barb next year.
We'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.